The Loose Cannons are on the air.
What are we doing? What are you doing?
Steve Hartman.
I'm a bad loser, man.
And Mike Costa.
How thin is your kicking shoe?
On Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
Welcome to our Wednesday edition, The Loose Cannons on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego, 1350 in the IE. Well, here we are, folks.
We got it.
November baseball.
We
have November baseball.
I'm so pumped. I am so jacked that we got a game seven.
Well, it's not just a game seven. I mean, by the way, happy birthday, Fernando Valenzuela.
Really?
So today is Fernando Valenzuela's birthday.
72?
Not 72. He's actually younger. He's only 57, okay. He says. He says how he's younger than me. Happy birthday, Fernando Valenzuela.
Okay.
On a day when the Dodgers will be, how about this? First game seven in Los Angeles Dodgers history at Dodger Stadium.
Oh,
the only
know
game seven that the LA Dodgers have ever played in a World Series was 1965. Koufax, on 2 days rest, throws a three-hit complete game shutout against the Twins, but that was in Minneapolis. So Dodgers Stadium is hosting its first ever game seven of the World Series. That's pretty good history.
It's great history, and tonight I think will be great history as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a game seven, and it's what we have had up to this point, where it really will be edgier seat, I think, all night long, unless one team gets out to a massive lead and it ends up being a blowout, which we don't think is going to happen. But even if you're a quasi baseball fan, you can't miss this tonight.
Well, the ratings will be through the roof. We saw that a year ago. The ratings went through the roof. And, you know, I looked this up, like ratings for Game 7 in the World Series. And you'll see series where if the series is a good series, obviously the ratings go up a little bit each game, game 5, 6. But when you get to a Game 7, like last year, I think the rating was like a 13 for Game 6, 21 for a Game 7.
Yeah, I think so. Fox is happy.
Right. So everybody is going to be watching. All right, Ernie, Brent, I want to get you on this right now because your commitment to the game. All right. So at 9 o'clock this morning, 30% of the tickets for tonight's game. Obviously, the game sold out. Every ticket's already been sold. 30% of the tickets went on resale at 9 a.m. this morning.
People thinking they're going to make a buck.
So how much would you give up game seven tickets for the World Series, the Dodgers having not won a World Series in 29 years? Astros, by the way, have never won a World Series.
Are you basing this on their being huge Dodger fans? Or?
Right. So what's your price tag? Where do you draw the line saying if you're – Well, I mean,
so we're pretending that we're Dodgers fans.
Pretend you're a Dodger fan and you got tickets for tonight's game seven.
Where are my seats?
They're good.
Let's say you got field level seats, not behind home plate, but you're down the first baseline or third baseline.
Where to gauge
you
it.
Can smell
right.
The grass.
Field level.
All right.
What do you need to give up game seven tickets for the World Series?
And how much do you think I would have paid face value for those? A couple hundred?
Right. I mean, originally, sure.
$5,000.
$5,000 each?
No, for two.
Really? Well, you go cheap, man.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's L.A. I'd go $5,000 a piece.
Each, right? But Ernie, I guess, needs the money a little more than you do, Brent.
Ernie's got kids to feed.
That's true.
Wow.
Shoes to buy.
How about you, Costa? How much? I mean, seriously, okay. Let's say you're a lifelong Dodger fan and you have game seven tickets.
I'm not giving them up.
Period, right?
No way. No way, because...
I wouldn't sell them.
Wait a second, hold on. You say don't, all right? Wait a second, guy goes, I really want those seats.
No.
Like, no, I'm not giving them up.
Okay, if you are a born and raised, cut in half, you bleed Dodger blue.
Right. Like, you've waited 29 years for this day.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
You're not giving these seats up.
And your kid cannot wait to be at this game.
Oh, sorry, and when he fans out $5,000 in his hand.
And then all of a sudden the guy goes, here's $20,000 for those two tickets.
Well, okay, if we start to get into
wait a second, how do you explain that to the kid?
You say, I'm going to take part of this cash now that I've sold these tickets this morning. We're going right to the big TV store. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get the 100-inch whatever you want, kid. We're going to get it. And I'm still going to have
a
boatload.
Game 7 tickets, Dad.
No.
Too bad you get college instead.
Yeah. If you get into the astronomical figures, right, the 20,000, the 50,000 type of thing, and you're not a multi-gazillionaire,
right,
you're thinking, all right, I can make a lot of money. That's going to help my family. I will sell the tickets.
I'm not making this number up. 30% of the tickets went for resale.
But
30%.
If you are the diehard and the fact that this does not come around every single year, you're not giving up your seats unless it's a stupid amount of money.
I'm with you, Cost, on that one. Seriously. I mean, 29 years you've waited for this. It's Game 7. First ever Game 7 of the World Series played at Dodger Stadium. Ever.
No, it's the greatest theater. And if you are that fan,
you
get to say you were there, you supported the team throughout the season. There's no way you're going to suddenly go, oh, I'll be on my couch at home.
I think I might have took my 10 grand and just lied and said I stayed. Oh.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, you take a
picture of the ticket.
Take a picture of the tickets. I
was be like
there.
The millions of people that claim they're at the Ice Bowl, even though it only held like 60,000.
Exactly.
But that's like Wilt Chamberlain when he scored the 100 points in Hershey, Pennsylvania. He goes, I had about 30,000 people. There were 1,500 people at that game that night. Like, as a whole, like, I was there, man.
No, you're
there.
Not. You're not. If you're a big time Dodger fan,
but
you're
Ernie,
not selling
okay,
the seats.
So you go rather cheap. I mean, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say if I'm a Dodger fan, I'm not going to.
Well,
not
let's say
it was.
Let's say it's the Padres. Let's say we're at Petco, Game 7 of the World Series.
No,
Padres
no,
trying to win their first ever World Series.
I'm sitting there. I'm going to the game.
Really? And someone says, "Here's 10 grand a ticket."
It's, I'm
all right,
going.
Ernie, you stuttered a little bit there.
No,
you paused.
Okay, I come to you with a stack of cash, and it's $100,000.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And odds are Padres are probably going to win this game and see their first World Series ever.
Yeah.
You're not selling?
No, and you have tickets for the whole family.
Oh, no, we're going.
The four of you are all there, and you're like, they've waited their whole lives for this.
I'm sorry.
Think
I'm
about this.
Selling.
2020. How old is your son in 2020?
2020, he'll you're asking me to do math again.
Oh, please. Okay.
Good job, Cromarty.
It's 3 years from now. How old is he today?
Eight.
So plus 3 is 11.
No, he'll be 8.
He'll be 8.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, by that time, he'll know what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And your daughter
does.
Will be what, 10?
Yep.
Something like that?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Ain't selling.
How old are you going to be? That's what I want to know. Or can you remember that? All right, so
we got to put Dad's feeding tube in, and we're going to go to the game afterwards.
Beep.
Yeah.
Beep.
Is that Larry King?
Beep.
No, it's Ernie Martinez.
All right, so so while people are seeing how much money they can make off the tickets for Game 7, we have a game tonight. And last night, this was a classic last night, because when Dave Roberts walked to the mound with the bases loaded and yanked Rich Hill and turned to Brandon Morrow.
All I could think of was 6 pitches, 4 runs. That's all I could think of last night.
I was like, he's bringing Brandon Morrow with the bases loaded?
I start thinking in terms of Dave Roberts apparently really wants that Yankees job.
Oh, I was like, that is the move of the century. I'm thinking, you are bringing Brandon Morrow in, who in the last 4 batters he faced went home run, single, double, home run. He pitched 6 pitches in the last game and gave up 4 runs, 2 home runs. And you're bringing him in a game where if you lose, the season's over, with the bases loaded.
I bet there is a moment going back to their days with the Padres.
Yes.
When Dave said, remember that one time?
Yeah. That
and
one time.
I need you to do that again.
Meanwhile,
right,
Brandon Morrow's brain is still scrambled from
why am I here?
You know, the launching of those. It was an insane move. But you know what? He got the out. And from that point on, it was spotless for that Dodger bullpen.
Yep.
I mean, did Dave Roberts just get that much smarter? Because in Game 5, almost everything he did was wrong. Same thing going back Game 2 when he pulled Rich Hill, then the bullpen imploded. Did he get that much smarter? I don't know, because everybody after Game 5 was ripping Dave Roberts because he didn't know what to do with his bullpen.
I think Dave Roberts went gut.
What's the closer's mentality or the bullpen mentality? Short-term thinking. You got to forget about what happened 2 days ago, the night before. You got to go out there. And Brandon, led by the way of Dave Roberts, the skipper, may have found what he was looking for. That one pitcher to finally get the job done, and now the bullpen's going to feed off that.
I am telling you, what other manager makes that move? Seriously, in a game six, you have to win. What's the score? It's 1-1, right, at that point? And you're going to bring in Brandon Morrow, who just got lit up.
Who's still second base in the fourth game of a American League Championship Series with your team down 3-0.
I'm sure Dave Roberts was thinking, and maybe playing the odds, thinking it was such a disaster the last time he was on the mound. This guy is just itching to get out there and prove that, hey, I can help this baseball team win the World Series. And again, screw the binder, the analytics, whatever that said. I'm sure Dave Roberts just went, you know what? I'm going with Morrow. I got faith in the
kid. I'm telling you, that was an analytics move. That was a pure analytics move. That he just ignored what happened in Game 5. It's almost like Game 5 never happened. He went right back to the
book. And that's the way you have to attack it.
Well, if you're an analytics guy, it does. Now, if he gives up a grand slam right there, then what are you saying? Season's over, and Dave Roberts is getting eviscerated today.
Well, then you go, wow, it's a terrible move, man.
Isn't that the whole point? I mean, you know, you're throwing 95-mile-an-hour fastballs like Morrow. If you get one a little bit over the plate, it's out.
Yeah,
and
just
then all
Jock
of a sudden,
Peterson.
And then all of a sudden, Dave Roberts is an idiot, and he's getting killed today. Instead, Dave Roberts got smart again.
Apparently, he did.
I mean, he brings in Kenley Jansen for a 6-out save, and it was just... like, no problem. Sail right through it.
Well, it wasn't the eighth inning short for Jansen, too.
It was incredible. Like,
it was boom, boom, boom.
Like, the Astros were just like, yeah, the Astros win a game seven?
He didn't. And the thing was, Jansen was not laboring at all. And you could tell by his mannerisms on the mound, the way he was looking in.
Well, the Astros are making it look easy for him. They were swinging at everything.
And then that final strike. What the hell? Who was it? Beltran was at the plate? That thing was up here.
Oh, yeah. Well, he throws. Look, it seemed like the Astros were anxious for a game seven. They didn't look anything near like they looked in game five. I don't know if it's because they were on the road or what was going on.
Yeah, but how nervous did you get when, was it Springer who hit the home run to get on the board first for the Astros?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, God, here we go. Here comes the avalanche. There's no way. But.
I didn't know about an avalanche because I thought Rich Hill was throwing the ball pretty well. But at the same time, that is a move. If the Dodgers win this World Series, it's going to come back to that move. You pulled Rich Hill. And you put in Brandon Morrow with the bases loaded. I'm thinking is... a grand slam right now and the season's over. Yeah. And Dave Roberts will be fired. Gone.
And you mentioned Rich Hill. And what Rich Hill did last night to Gurriel.
Mm.
When Gurriel came to the plate and the fans started booing. And Hill was he stepped off the rubber and kind of took his own sweet time, like rubbing the baseball down, just so the boos could just continue. That was awesome.
Wouldn't it be great tonight? So Yu Darvish has played the high road the whole time on this Gurriel. He's handled it beautifully, right?
Just dots him.
First pitch, man, right at the head. Puts him down. He gets yanked from the game. Dave Roberts says, thank you so much. I would have yanked him anyway. You made my life easy.
No, Roberts probably gets tossed too.
You're gone too.
Well, and I was telling Mike, the nice thing about Game 7, and we had it last year, is that the most random people, when you're walking around town or you're out and about, they're all talking about the World Series.
Yeah.
And it's a cool buzz if you're a baseball fan.
Well, even if you're not a baseball fan, if you're just breathing a Game 7 of the World Series, and again, the ratings prove it out. I mean, every single time we get a Game 7 in the World Series, the ratings could be good for a series. And by the way, game to game, the ratings this year are above where they were last year. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of it has to do with you have the LA market and in Houston market, two of the five biggest markets in the country. I'm telling you, tonight's game could be the highest rated baseball game in 25 years.
Well, look at that. The numbers are pretty good last night, right?
Overnights, yes.
Overnights were. And that's Halloween, too.
Exactly.
How many people were not in front of the TV last night?
Is there anything else going on tonight? Seriously, if there's anybody out there that says, you know what, I have an alternative on Wednesday night to not watch the World Series, I would love to hear.
Will and Grace.
All right, okay. let's get some of your thoughts on tonight's Game 7 of the World Series, Dodgers-Astros. It has been a very unpredictable World Series. Crazy games like Games 2 and 5, and yet a 3-1 game, just like we had in Game 1. So it's hard to explain what's happening in this matchup between the Dodgers and the Astros. Chris, welcome. You're on with the Loose Cannons.
Hey, listen, my comment's going to be a little bit different here. You were just talking to Ernie, and I heard you asking him, if his wife got $10,000, would she take those tickets or take that money?
Mm.
And I'll tell you, his wife was my daughter's teacher when she quit teaching over there at the school.
Uh-oh.
And I know Christine, and she was frugal. She would take that money and she would do something with that.
Where is Ernie? He just ran out of here. He's getting on the phone right now. Get Ernie back in studio, back in here. Where is he?
I know she would take that money, and there's no way she would go to that game. She would kick his back.
All right, Ernie, we have someone on that says he knows your wife and said if you didn't take the money, she would kick you to the curb.
You wouldn't have
a wife. Ernie, call her Chris. You know Ernie's wife. You actually know her name, which is something Ernie doesn't know.
It was my daughter's former teacher. Great lady. I love Ernie. And when he started making all that money over there in radio, I think she'll take the money.
Yeah.
I think she'll take that money.
I don't know, Chris. I think she would like to see the Padres win just as much as I would.
Wait a second. So you got four seats, prime seats for Game 7 of the World Series. Padres are trying to win their first World Series, and someone's offering big money. He says your wife would say, if you don't take the money, I'll leave you and take the kids with me. Wow. All right, Ernie.
You know, I think he raises a really good point, because I think for most people who are married, I think their wives, if they found out that someone had offered a very large amount, and I'm talking from experience.
And Ernie, doesn't your wife handle the money in the family?
Yeah,
you wouldn't have much say on that. Can you imagine if she yanked those tickets out of your hand? You're like, I've waited my whole life for this.
Yep.
She goes, who cares? You can watch it on TV. You don't understand.
But you brought another reality. When you're talking to Mike about him having his son there saying, hey, Dad, but what about the game? That's when it's like, well, you know, that's a reality, too, that you don't get that back.
How about this? Let's go talk to your mother. Can you imagine Ernie like this? All right, so it's Game 7 of the World Series, Padres and whoever, right? And Ernie is just beside himself. He can't wait for the game. And then he's like ready for the tickets, like, where are the tickets?
Oh.
And your wife says, hey, we got an unbelievable offer I sold him, Ernie, but don't worry, we'll watch it on TV. What would your reaction be?
She better have my favorite bottle with the cold. Can you imagine
the meltdown?
Oh.
If she said, Ernie, we got so much money. I was trying to call you. I couldn't get a hold of you, but I knew you wouldn't have a problem selling the tickets.
Man, you see, if I came home Jack and the Beanstalk style with
magic beans.
Yeah, and Meg said, wait, you had the chance to sell those for how much?
Mm-hmm.
And you kept them?
But is that worse than actually her selling them without you even knowing? And then when you're ready to grab your tickets for the game, they're like, where are the tickets?
Is that worse than not selling them and then they lose and just get their butts kicked? And then you could have had 20 grand, but you decided, nah, I'm too good for that.
There's another twist on it.
So you would be understanding.
Since your wife handles the money, you'd be understanding if she sold the tickets for Game 7 of the Padres World Series without telling you.
Oh, it would take... If they won, it would take a while.
Yeah.
Unless my situation was Raider-centric and it was a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And Meg knew that, oh, man, they're back in the Super Bowl. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy we have tickets. Any other big sporting event, she would not even ask. She would sell them to
the
highest bill.
Gone.
Yeah.
I can just see Ernie's face, crestfallen. She's like, what's the big deal? We'll watch it on TV.
And then
the Padres are celebrating. Fans are coming on the field. And you're watching sitting on TV.
Ernie.
Seeing the people that were in your seats wave into the crowd like the happiest moment of their life.
Maybe I could call the Padres in a nick of time to get me a press pass or something.
In your section, your seat, they got a foul ball.
The guy's holding up the foul ball. No, the seats he has, it's the game-winning home run.
The MVP of the series is taking pictures with the family in their seats.
And they're like, how did you get the tickets? Well, we bought them from friends of ours. Ernie Martinez, you may have heard of him.
And a home run ball, you are easily going to be able to parlay into season seats next year, maybe even a box for the year, because that ball symbolizes the first World Series ever, and you're at home.
That's okay. You love your wife. You love your family. There you go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although you've been a Padre fan a lot longer than they've been around.
This is not Meg. This is Christine. Mrs. Martinez.
Yes, you remember Christine, Mrs. Martinez. He had a full conversation, not realizing actually who she was.
It happens.
All right, by the way, this hour of the Canon is brought to you by Father Joe's Villages Thanksgiving Day 5K. Sign up today. Don't forget the Rocky Long Show, of course, going to be on tonight at 6 o'clock. Hear from the Aztecs coach as they get ready to take the trip up to San Jose to take on the Spartans. All right, one of the big stories in the NFL right now, the Philadelphia Eagles, not only with the best record in the NFL, but they just got Jay Ajayi to add to their running back core. Are the Eagles going to win the Super Bowl this year? Philly Billy Werndale will tell us coming up next.
Tomorrow morning on Hardwick and Richards, who's the hero of Game 7? And can Kelvin Benjamin be the hero that Buffalo needs to get them out of their playoff funk? We get started at 6 a.m. on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
All right, don't miss the Rocky Long Show tonight. Judson Richards, Rich Ornberger talked to Coach about the big win over Hawaii and what's in store against San Jose State this weekend. The Rocky Long Show comes your way at 6 o'clock tonight, right here on your home of the Aztecs, Extra 1360.
It's time to check in with Philly Billy Werndale, brought to you by OG's Sports Brewhouse Pizza. With 9 area locations, there's always an OG's nearby.
Well, here's a guy that was waiting for the Phillies in 1964 to get to the series. You had tickets already, Billy, did you not, for the 1964 World Series?
I was working on those tickets, but my best friend in the world was the guy that derailed the Phillies down the stretch. If you look at the numbers, Bill White was a real factor for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes.
Now we're the best of friends.
No, what derailed him was Gene Mock and butchering that pitching staff is what he did.
Mock.
Billy, before we get to your high-flying Eagles, got to ask about this World Series. Game 7 tonight. Dodgers Stadium will be hosting a Game 7 in the World Series for the very first time. We mentioned 30% of the tickets at 9 a.m. this morning were put up for resale. People fishing to see how much money they would get. Seriously, I mean, if you had Game 7 tickets and you've been a lifelong fan of a team, would there be any price to give up those tickets?
No, absolutely not. Steve, I have a real tough time with that. When I see people scalping tickets because they can make a big payday, I have never scalped a ticket in my life. Never. And people who say they're true fans would not do that. If you're a true blue fan, there's not all the money in the world can buy, pay for the experience of going to a Game 7 of a World Series or a championship Game 7 in the NBA or the NHL. And the same with a Super Bowl ticket. Anybody that scalps a ticket, I lose a lot of respect for them.
Can you imagine,
trying to make money.
Billy, let's say you go back to 1964. So, Billy, you were in high school at the time, right? You were, yeah, in high, you were like, I think you're senior in high school. Anyway, so it's the World Series, and you've got Game 7 tickets, and it goes to a Game 7 in Philadelphia, and as you're ready to go to the game, your dad said, hey, we got a lot of good money. We sold the tickets.
That would not happen. Not happen. I would want to go to that game.
And he says, well, you can sit and watch it on the black and white TV.
No. You know, you bring up 1964, and it's a bad memory because I missed 3 days of school that year when they lost the pennant. I was so sick after they lost that 10 games in a row. Mm-hmm. I told my parents, I don't feel good for the next couple of days, mm-hmm, and I did not attend class in Sharon Hill High School.
Billy, your Eagles are the best football team in the NFL right now. They make a major pickup, Jay Ajayi, the running back from the Miami Dolphins. He's now an Eagle. Did you expect as much action before the trade deadline as we saw the last couple of days?
Not really, Mike, but there was a lot of talk before the trade deadline on Saturday and Sunday. There was a buzz. I was surprised Garoppolo ended up in San Francisco, but look, they couldn't keep Garoppolo, the quarterback in New England. That wasn't going to happen next year. They had to make a decision, so they got a second-round pick for him. Then they bring Brian Hoyer back again and again. But the Dwayne Brown deal, look, Seattle is all in. They want to make a real run at the Super Bowl. They gave up a second in 2019, a third this year. They said, look, we have to think the future is now. But this really surprised me with all that activity. I mean, again, Kelvin Benjamin, now Cam Newton is really in a funk now that Benjamin is out of Carolina. So, I mean, this is really, it's been a very interesting trade deadline, and the dynamics really speak volumes.
But Billy, in Philly right now, you're sitting atop the mountain, you pick up Jay Ajayi to go with LeGarrette Blount. I mean, they got to be thinking, this is it. This is finally the year. This is going to be the year that the Eagles finally win the Super Bowl.
Steve, we talked about this, and Mike, there's not a super team in the NFL. This is a very even league right now across the board. You can say the Patriots, but the Patriots have problems on defense. Seattle has warts. You look across the board, anybody can win this game. So let's say if the Eagles win the division, get home field advantage, throughout the playoffs, have the best record in the NFL.
Right.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen.
Well, you like sound like a defeatist Eagle, like you've seen it all, and they're just not going to happen. Come on, if the Eagles are the number one seed hosting the NFC Championship, oh, they've been there before and lost, didn't they?
a number of times under Andy Reid. And who worked with Andy Reid in Kansas City? Doug Peterson. So you hope that's not a repeat performance. And, you know, doesn't carry over to Doug Peterson. But I really believe this is a very good football team, very good defensively. I mean, they rotate eight defensive linemen every game. I mean, they lost Jordan Hicks, and Nigel Bradham has really played solid this year. Their defensive secondary, I mean, Patrick Robinson, a former number one pick, has really picked up his play this year. Jalen Mills, Rasul Douglas. This is a pretty talented football team. And remember, they have Sidney Jones still on IR, who was arguably one of the top 10 players until that Achilles injury. He could be activated for the last four or five games. That could happen as well.
Billy, what are you hearing about the Ezekiel Elliott situation? Is it like the last gasp Hail Mary? He's sitting this week?
Well, I would think that's going to happen, Mike. But, you know, you never know in the court of law today. You know, you think it's going to happen, and then suddenly they reverse their field. Look, he should have served that suspension right out of the box. But Jerry Jones wanted to make sure that he made a point to the NFL and Roger Goodell. And, Steve, you were on my show yesterday. I think Roger Goodell's days are numbered in the National Football League.
Yep.
I think they're going to pull something off where they get rid of Roger, give him a nice little golden parachute, and have to change the image of this league.
All right, but let's stop for a second, Billy, on that. Because, all right, you need 24 owners. And right now, apparently Jerry Jones, including himself, has 18. So he still needs six more owners. In other words, Goodell only needs 9 owners on his side to essentially keep his job. But even, let's say they got rid of Goodell. Who's the person that they can bring in?
The next puppet?
Because, you know, I talked about this on Billy's show. We talked about this yesterday, Costa. Here's the problem. If you hold up a picture of Roger Goodell and say, do you know who this is? You know, like, yes, that's Roger Goodell, commissioner of the NFL. When you look at him, do you think good or bad? I mean, like 90% of the people say bad. I mean, this is a guy. So, but who is it that the NFL could bring in? I mean, if they were to bring in Condoleezza Rice, who seems to be the cure-all for everything in sports, right? let's bring in Condoleezza Rice. If they were to go something way off the charts like that, would that be a positive for the NFL? I mean, where are you going with the commissioner next, Billy?
Anything would be a positive right now for the NFL. Anything. They could put you in as commissioner.
No.
And it would be a positive for the NFL.
No, that's really not happening.
I mean, Steve, they have an image problem. And they can mention the anthem protest, but it's a bad product right now.
How about if Donald Trump resigned the presidency to become the commissioner of the NFL?
Oh, geez. We'd have major problems.
That would be an interesting twist. Like, he's like, actually, this is a much better job. How much is this thing paying me? $40 million a year? Heck, I get $400,000 a year to be president.
And I can still tweet?
Yeah, I'll take that commissioner's job in a heartbeat. There you go. Pence, you're the new president.
Remember, Donald Trump would love to bring the NFL down because the owners, a lot of them, are gone now.
No, but he'll save the NFL.
He wants to rock the boat of the NFL any which way he can. But but it's interesting. Donald Trump, the commissioner.
Oh, God. Can you see on the loudspeaker like this? Get off your knees. Get you off your knees right now. You're fired.
It would be unbelievable. It might be Shark Tank.
Oh, my.
With real blood.
All right, Billy, remind everyone once again about your best-selling novel.
All right, No Curveballs. You can get on nocurveballs.com, amazon.com. And remember, OG's Pizza, OG's on Wednesday, hump day, is OG's day. So get out to the nearest location at OG's and treat the family tonight.
All right, Billy. Enjoy game seven, and I will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Billy.
For the Dodgers, Steve. I'm Dave Roberts, a good man.
Yeah, very good man. Very good man. Rooting for Dave Roberts. That's Philly Billy Werndale joining us every Wednesday, 3:30, kicking it around.
Speaking of pizza, Papa John wants NFL Papa Roger Goodell gone ASAP. We're going to explain why coming up next.
What's up? It's Orenberger, Mark, and Rich tomorrow right at noon. Well, it all comes down to this. Game 7, Dodgers, Astros. Who will be on the parade floats? We'll wrap up a crazy series tomorrow at noon on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
Cannons on this first day of November.
Beautiful.
Big Wednesday. Aztecs are once again on the road Saturday night, taking on the Spartans in San Jose. Looking to get to 8-2 on the year. Pregame gets underway at 6:30. Kickoff set for 7:30 right here on your home of Aztecs football. Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego. Couldn't have been a better Saturday. Big win at Hawaii. And then, again, Fresno. Losing at home to UNLV. Wow.
There's hope, man.
There is hope. Definitely hope over the next couple weeks. But the Aztecs got to take care of their own business. Yesterday, Costa, John Schnatter.
Yes, he's Papa John.
He is Papa John. He's the guy that created Papa John's. Yesterday, John Schnatter found out in one day he lost $70 million.
Oh, that's a lot of pepperoni.
So the deal is he owns about 25% of Papa John's.
Yeah.
And his net worth, which is still about $800 million.
He's not doing too bad.
But in one day, after the quarterlies came in, he lost $70 million in one day.
Why, Steve? Why?
Well, he says it's all because of Roger Goodell. He immediately fired off on the NFL. They are cutting back. And here's the interesting thing about Papa John's. When they ask people about, and they do a lot of this in marketing, you know, how valuable is it to attach my product to your product?
Yeah.
And when they, over the last 2+ years, when they ask people, which product do you most associate with the NFL? They have all these sponsors. And for the last 2.5 years, the number one most identifiable sponsor with the NFL is Papa John's Pizza.
Well, think about the times we go to Super Bowl. He's always there. There's hundreds and hundreds of Papa John pizzas all over Radio Row.
Well, they are not only are the official pizza of the NFL, they actually have separate deals with 23 of the 32 NFL teams. So there's no doubt that the NFL has been a gold mine for Papa John. But now it's the opposite. And he immediately just fired off without saying Goodell by name. He goes, the leadership is garbage in this league.
He said that, and it has to do, obviously, the biggest thing is the national anthem protests.
Right.
And saying, you know, the league should have nipped this in the bud months ago. But this might be the tip of the iceberg as far as the big money sponsors and the NFL, because he's looking at losing $70 million.
Right.
And it's because people
out of his own pocket.
Out of his own pocket. And people are making the easy correlation. Oh, you're sponsoring the NFL. The NFL players are kneeling and, in my book, are disgracing the national anthem and the flag. Well, guess what? I'm going to go to Pizza Hut. I'm not going to Papa John.
Well, here's where the NFL is going to counter
him. Or any
of
the pizza
place. Now, they haven't said anything publicly, but this is going to be their counterpunch to him. First of all, they're going to say, just calm down. Calm down. Things are not as bad as you think. And of course, he says, I just lost $70 million.
Yeah.
But when you talk about the quarterlies ended September 24th which is just 2 days after the president spoke. So they're like, there's no way that this is based on the free fall started after the president made his SOB comment.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fallout was the following Sunday and everything sure. that's happened since then. Your quarterlies, that you can't tie the two together. That's what they're going to say to him.
Sure.
But what you're saying is right. It only takes, we've said this before, it only takes one of their mega sponsors, and Papa John's is a mega sponsor,
right.
to say, I'm out. Well, I'm done.
And social media being what it is today, all it takes is someone just hashtagging boycott Papa John's or boycotting Coors Light or boycotting Cadillac or
unless
whatever.
Unless they get, see, that's why he brought the leadership aspect of this whole thing, right? He didn't say the NFL. He said the leadership is bad in this league, which makes me think, Jerry Jones give Papa John a call? In other words, we know Jerry Jones is unhappy with Goodell right now. We know he's been sort of organizing behind the scenes a way to block the extension of Roger Goodell. But he's one voice. This is a major sponsor voice who's also questioning the leadership
sure.
of this league.
And ultimately, if a major sponsor or sponsors start pulling money away from the NFL, in a sense, that's money that is being pulled away from the group of 32.
Right.
And so as soon as that happens, yeah, Jerry Jones is on the phone. John, listen, I know how you feel. I don't want the guy here either. The leadership has been poor.
Yeah.
But the NFL's modus operandi has just been, just brush it under the rug. Everything's going to be fine. What is their plan?
Well, if I were Papa John, I'm having this conversation with, let's say, Roger Goodell directly. I'm like, let me get this straight. I just lost $70 million yesterday, and they want to put another $30 to $40 million a year in your pocket?
Yeah.
Not with my help. It's not going to happen.
No, and he's in the position where he comes out and said, listen, unless a change is made, Papa John's is really going to scale back our involvement with the NFL.
I just wonder about, we always talk about this whole sponsorship. For instance, let's say you enjoy to have an occasional Papa John's pizza, right? It's mm-hmm. one of the four major pizza chains in this country. And part of the reason you want to eat Papa John's is I see the commercials of Peyton Manning, J.J. Watt. I see the NFL commercials, yeah. everything else. And I like the pizza, so I start eating it, right? Are you going to stop eating that pizza based on their association with the NFL? I mean, have you ever literally stopped using a product because it was associated with a TV show or a sport or something that you suddenly had a bad look?
I stopped using Exxon gas.
Really?
After the Valdez spill.
Did you really?
In Alaska.
Wow.
And how they drug their feet. So that's the one I can remember. No, most people are going to start doing it. But if you're losing $70 million, that means people are not buying as much pizza.
Right.
So some people, maybe veterans out there or strong supporters of the military, are making the jump. Yeah, you're supporting the NFL. Look what the NFL's doing to the flag. I ain't buying your pizza.
Yeah, but it isn't like the stock market. I mean, again, Papa John's has benefited mightily from the National Football League.
Well, that's
League.
Other part of the argument.
To if get to where they are right now, it. Now that there's a hiccup, suddenly you say, well, and that's I'm
what,
out?
Right, and that's what the NFL will say. They'll go, listen, yeah, this is a rocky time for you. Sorry about your $70 million, but what's your net worth right now? Because of you attaching yourself to the NFL the last couple of years, you can't just jump ship when it gets bad one time.
All right, well, that's but he called him out big time.
And the more, if he ends up being the only sponsor, then you're kind of like,
yeah.
But if it starts the trickle-down effect, then they are in big, big trouble.
Goodell's in trouble. I mean, I don't understand why the Goodell, would he still be there? Why would you keep this guy? It just doesn't make
any
sense.
He's the captain of the Titanic right now.
Well, it's not the Titanic, but he's not helping the cause. Let's put it that way.
No.
How is he helping the cause?
He's telling everybody there's no iceberg, and the ship's already hit it.
All right, let's qualify some right now for the cannon shot of the day. A drum roll, please.
A text. Can't explain why you sold your World Series tickets to your kid? Have him call Brent and he'll hang up on him.
We get ready for the four of the biggest sports stories of the day, including another reason why we need good sports facilities in San Diego. Coming up next.